The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. I'm Sammy Jacobs. Along with me is TJ Indiana. We will do the disappointing, disheartening, discouraging, whatever you want to call it, the loss to Minnesota last week. What IU needs to do to salvage their season, some college football news in terms of IU's next opponent in Maryland, and just what IU needs to going forward. Is this program dead in the water? Where do the Hoosiers go from here? And we'll talk all about that. Recap the Minnesota game really quickly. You did well, what didn't do well, what needs to happen going forward. So we'll have all that. And there's three games left in the season. Indiana through week 9 at 4-5 heading into the open week, double game. Again, TJ, I hate to rip off this band again and reopen wounds. What exactly were your thoughts from it?
It was a very interesting game because Indiana played so poorly. For a stretch of time there, you know, 25, 30 minutes of game time, where IU was just abysmal. Bad on offense, bad on defense, bad on special teams. And then, you know, and I had the narrative for my game story made up in my head as far as what was going to be written about that game. And then, you know, kind of one deep pass from Peyton Ramsey to Donovan Hale, and it was kind of a shrug-your-shoulders moment, like, oh, where the heck's that been all day? And then all of a sudden you get a turnover, score again, and you kind of scratch your head and say, well, this is interesting. And, but we've been there before. We've been there before where Indiana – not with this particular team, but with IU football in recent years where, you know, Indiana will get themselves back into a game only to the long drive or not be able to make a critical play, something like that. So I wasn't really too excited. And then when Indiana was able to get the ball back and down 8 and score, and then get the 2-point conversion, which, by the way, credit where it's due. Thank you for not throwing a fade pass there on that 2-point conversion and using the big body Donovan Hale to seal off the defender. Thank you for that. But, you know, I have definitely allowed myself to think, well, IU does not deserve this victory on the balance of play, but sure would take it. And it seemed like maybe it was going to come. You get the stop, get the ball back, and then passing game had picked Minnesota apart on successive drives that it doesn't make any sense to me. It did not then. So this is not second guessing. You just knew on that 3rd and 2, they were going to hand it off. It was going to be a run up the middle. And if they did that, it was probably going to be stuffed because Minnesota was perfectly aware of it as well. And that's what they chose to do. And once they plucked that ball, you just had a sinking feeling in your stomach that Minnesota was going to find a way to score. I thought it was probably going to be a last-second field goal that they did, but now they, you know, went straight for the more direct route and went over the top on the IU defense. So at that, you knew Indiana was not going to be able to come back from that. And ultimately, it's, major gut punch of a loss. You've got the first part of it where it's so disappointing in the play, and then the second part of it where it's, well, hey, we almost escaped, and then we'll take the 5-4, and, you know, not ask any questions about it, just happily take it and move on. And then that second disappointment of the coming all the way back only to lose, and I won't even call it heartbreaking fashion. I'll just call it more disappointment. So I don't know. There's no way Indiana should have lost that game to that Minnesota team. And I think it exposed the continued special teams mistakes that just can't continue to happen. I think Indiana multiple games, and something has to be done with that. And then I thought that, you know, I guess you can explain the defensive mistakes and the miscues and the play of the defense. You could explain that, I suppose, to youth. I don't necessarily buy that, but you can sort of have that explanation. For offense, I just, for a majority of that game, Peyton Ramsey was just awful. He was really, really ineffective. And to continue to watch the offense flounder as it was certainly among the more frustrating evenings that that I've had. That's, you know, many as an IU football fan. But the announcers continue to talk about completion percentage with Peyton Ramsey, and it's just a meaningless statistic. His yards per attempt are among the worst in college football, and even those passes seem to be a chore at times where, yeah, guys are catching the ball 5 yards down the field, but okay, that's better than not completing it. I get that. But in addition to struggling to get it there, he's not leading those guys into bigger plays. They're 5 yard catches and that's it. And IU's offense, very few college offenses are capable of consistently going on 12 to 15 yard plays. You have to have the explosive plays, and IU's offense just does not have that. And I think that that is the root of the issue for Indiana. I think it's the special teams mistakes that IU is not good enough to overcome. And very few teams are able to overcome the number of special teams miscues IU has. And then the lack of explosive plays. I think that those two things are the largest issue for Indiana football right now. And it's to say that it's been frustrating is a major understatement. We're left now with needing, you know, a pair of miracles just to get to a bowl game.
Yeah, and, you know, that game was so frustrating because at 31, we all accepted that IU was dead in the water, not going to do anything, and Minnesota could not score 2 touchdowns. And they started to come back, and when they, you know, and they had shots to win it, you know, Peyton Ramsey throws a pick. You know, and IU was ghost. I thought it was like the field goal. Could, you know, attempt a field goal, gets points on the board there. They had their shots. And I'll tell you this, the fan base is angry. And the next term, angry is happy. And you do not know that it's IU has been poor, it's not been good. And usually that is the death program right there. Not look good. Don't expect a crowd more than 20,000 at the Maryland game. Maryland doesn't travel well anyway. They have their own problems going on in terms of buying their players after the news today. And this game, probably game, and it's going to be chillier, and fans won't be there, and rightfully so. You cannot come out and fall behind. And TJ, this reminded me of the 2013. IU needed that win to go ball, and they threw the backwards lateral to Tevin, and they were running the ball all over Minnesota late in the game and had a chance to win. They couldn't do it. Key to this settling for field goals early. Each team had three scoring drives. Minnesota scored three touchdowns. IU kicked three field goals. That's the difference in the game. If you take, you know, score two touchdowns and a field, you know, IU wins, and you feel better about yourself. And 5-4, heading into an open week and facing now a Maryland team where you don't know where that buy-in is. I would place Tom Allen on, squarely on the hot seat after last week, and for these reasons. You knew Minnesota banged up in the secondary. You knew you could take your shots all day, and you didn't. It was running well. You could mix it up a little bit. I would even gone for it on four down. You got stuff on the run, you know, because sure, they're going to score anyway. That's how you figure it. If they're going to score, let them score 2 minutes left. And then you could, you know, work on their offense getting back. And back, they scored the touchdown. Good thing is, delay a game. I know it's a new rule where they start play clock after right of the kickoff, but it's week nine. You got to put it. And then just special teams play. It has been awful. And it's not one thing, it's another. You know, Jayshon Harris was great early on. They figured out how to kick away from him, and IU really hasn't adjusted. They didn't have a pair there with the ball down. There was a big punt late in the game for bounce 20. IU lost, you know, 15 or 20 yards of field position on a punt like that. You had the block, was inexcusable. You know, they fixed the kickoff return. But again, it's like plug holes on the Titanic. It seems like it's going down anyway. So, you know, William Inge, the special teams coordinator, that is all he does, that recruiting. And you can't be – I don't know where they are in S&P Plus this week, but they were down in the hundreds. You cannot be that way in one game event. A team like Indiana have to be 25 and having a making a difference. They don't return kicks, and I understand it with not returning it with Mike Bajet back there. He's not always going to break a kickoff return for a touch. But go put Jalen Williams or somebody better. Now you have Reese Taylor back. He's quarterback number two now. Go put back the fastest guy on the team, and maybe can make it easier on your offense. Going 75 yards every time and dunking down the field, which you can't do consistently. You've got to get to play on special teams, and they haven't met. So, and then defense, you know, Tom Allen seems it over his head. Now, did he turn around IU's defense in 2016-17? Yeah, he's done a great job of doing that. But as a head coach, you run the entire program, not just defense. So he has much on play. He's too proud to say it, but he needs to give – Minnesota knew what was coming. And P.J. Fleck, after the game, said, we knew they were going to fight all night on play action. And what do you know? Lo and behold, the dead heart of your nation, actually not 67 yards, touchdown, freshman to freshman. And give Minnesota credit. Those guys, Brooks, who got to feel bad for, comes back from injury, gets hurt again. He runs for 140-some-odd yards. Rashad Bateman is a very good receiver. Tyler Johnson's a very good receiver. So they had some points. But they're not Ohio. They're not Iowa. They're not Penn State. This is a game on the road that IU had a chance to win. And 1-3 to go to a bowl game. And in typical IU fashion, they're going to make it harder on themselves. Having to win 2 out of 3, one against a good Maryland team who's facing their own issues, Michigan team where you haven't won up their games, and Purdue will probably need that game to go to a bowl game as well. So this is where Iowa football is at right now at the moment, and it's talented. And they're young. It just seems like there's been a step back. You can't get slanted to death by Minnesota, by a freshman quarterback. Go up and jam receivers. You can't fight on play action. Every there's got to be some sort of, maybe it's, he's not going to get canned after this year, but maybe you start thinking about it after next year. Because now, if they lose out, or don't go all, that's three in a row. If you fail next year, okay, that's three in a row. You've got years, you have one of those in the transition. You got 3 years. You got to show me something here, and it's got to be true. So that's where IU football has to go. Your fan base, what little of a fan base that IU football does have, diehards are giving up seats, and that's not good. You don't have those 3,000 people. And we'll see if Indiana wants to make the commitment to the commits of football. The commitment that they need to make financially to coaches and coaching staff and all the little things that make programs more than just competitive and trying to eke out bowl games. No, we'll see. It's a big final end of the year. Rice salvages now. Come out and play well. Beat Maryland. You know, we're competitive against Michigan, and it comes down to do. And I said at the beginning of the year, TJ, I think we both said it, it's bowl game or bust for this team. So there's no moral victory if you come out and play well against Purdue and you're losing over and it's fine. And you're a few days away. It's a bowl. This team was better than their 4-5 record. They mishandled personnel, and it's going to kill them. And you saw with your pass, you just can't, especially if you're not explosive in other areas. So that's my take, and there's just not much else to say other than that it was like a double gut.
Yeah. Discussion that we will save for after the season, because right now it's just unproductive. But a discussion that we will save for after the season is kind of the big picture. What does Indiana want and expect from their football program? Because what they are putting into it resource-wise, believe it or not, IU football is overachieving compared to what is being put into it in terms of resources. Now, that does not mean that IU should not win 6 games this year. There's enough there for Indiana to win 6 games. That being said, at an institutional level, to be an examination of what IU's putting into the program for what, they're getting out of it. And, we'll look at that after the season. And, that's something that I know as a site we're going to tackle is kind of an in-depth look at or discussion of what either needs to change or what's working, what's not working at an institutional level from that's athletic director on up to, board of trustees and the president of the university now. you know, I don't want to get anybody's hopes up that we're going to say, well, this needs to change and this needs to change, and then magically, you know, it's going to happen. But we're going to take a look at it. We're going to you know, have a discussion about IU's commitment or lack thereof to football and to athletics as a whole, and what it could mean moving forward if that's not addressed, and what things might address that to improve the situation. But from a strictly this season standpoint, you know, look, I think that Indiana has enough talent and shows you enough that a realistic person can still say, look, they can beat Maryland. They can. Maryland is a more talented team than Minnesota is. Maryland is better than Minnesota. Maryland's better than IU. But Indiana has shown you enough that if they put together a game, a complete game, which we haven't seen very often, but if they do, Indiana can win that game at home. And Indiana is maybe capable of beating Purdue. Again, Purdue's better. They are. But that's a game that is not impossible to win. Now, I'm not foolish enough to predict an Indiana victory against Maryland. I do not care what comes out about Cotting or, you know, whether or not Maryland's going to be motivated or how good of a week Indiana's had of practice or this or that. I will not be predicting Indiana to win another game this year until I actually see it happen on the field. And that's
– I mean,
that's
I'm
just,
100%
I,
there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
just – that's how it's been.
You just can't.
Expect it.
Yeah. Yeah. So now what I'm hoping Indiana does is say, look, we've got our backs to the wall here. We have nothing further to lose. Innovative, get aggressive, get creative. And next Saturday against Maryland, why not? You know, ask yourself that. Why not? Why not just throw everything at them and play loose, play fast, play aggressive? Those are all very cliched things. I understand that. But it's not something we've seen. We saw IU actually get aggressive on offense during that fourth quarter against Minnesota because they were forced into it. And guess what? IU's receivers made plays. I mean,
very, very good receivers. Hale, Freifogel,
yeah.
Nick Westbrook, Luke Timian, Wap Fillier, who he's not 100%. He cannot make the cuts that it seemed used to. Before the ankle injury against Michigan State, but it,
maybe 2 weeks will help.
Maybe I hate blaming DeBoer because there are receivers running downfield open a lot of time, and it's on your quarterback.
Yep.
Now I get it. Your head coach and your offense coordinator got to get on the horn with you, man. Throw the ball. Somebody needs the stone to say, hey, Peyton, throw the ball downfield. Guy's open. You know, step in, throw the ball, pick off at the punt. You know, fine, whatever. But, you know, it's not like he's completing 95, 5 yards interception. He's throwing it, and he's only completing 65% of his passes. Put it downfield, guy's open. Trust your receivers to make a play because every time you've thrown it downfield and given them a chance, and they've made plays more times than not. So, got a lot of respect for Peyton Ramsey, he's a tough kid, but you got to get in his face a little bit of throwing it deep because 6.3 yards per attempt for the season, 10 interceptions is not good. For a program that went into the season saying the starting quarterback's going to take care of the ball, not to mention he also has a few fumbles in there as well. So, you know, it's 15 touchdown passes, 10 interceptions. what are you doing? You know, 232-yard game on nearly 37 attempts. You got to open it up. You can't dink and dunk it. You got to be aggressive. It doesn't matter. You're throwing picks anyway. So throw them deep.
Yeah. Yep.
And that's
I'm just not sure if you're and we'll talk more about Maryland next week, but if we're just thinking about, okay, how can this thing be somewhat salvaged? It starts with Maryland I understand the concern with wanting to take care of the ball, but you have got to attempt to create explosive plays. You have to scheme explosive plays, and I do not think it has been near creative enough to make that happen. And I just hope that Indiana uses this off week to reevaluate that part of it and to reevaluate how aggressive they want to be on defense as well, because I do not feel that IU has been aggressive enough in blitzing. I do not feel that they've been aggressive enough in coverage. I want to see that get amped up. And hey, if that means that some things, let's say that those ideas are attempted on Saturday against Maryland and it goes terribly, well, so be it, because playing out the way that we have that, with the plan that's been laid out for the past month has not worked. You lost a couple of close games. Well, all right. Penn State is very beatable. And that was a game you lost close. Didn't play poorly, but could have played better. That game was there for Indiana to win. Minnesota played very poorly for 35 minutes or so of that game, and that was there to be won still, but you didn't. So what you have been doing has not been working, so I hope we see a significant change in terms of philosophy on offense and defense that gives us some reason to think, okay, maybe these last 3 weeks can be a little bit better and make us at least feel better going into the off season about things. And hey, crazier things have happened than winning 2 out of 3, beating Maryland and Purdue. Crazier things have happened. Not many, but a few crazier things have happened than that. So I think that the Hoosiers could do that, but they're going to have to make changes to do so.
Yeah, and it's going to take – and you have to be willing to change. You have to accept and say, hey, this isn't good enough. That's on us as coaches. One thing that I've kind of been discouraged about with Tom Allen is him throwing players under the bus at press conferences, saying, oh, player just got beat. We had him in the right position. He just got beat. Well, you recruited him. Is he not good enough to play in the Big Ten? Is he not fast enough to play in the Big Ten? We spent all this time in the winter talking about David Ballou and his staff and how much faster you guys are and how you're the best conditioned team and things like that. So, take responsibility as head coach. Say, hey, right now we're not good enough. I'm not good enough. Our coaching staff isn't good enough. The performance on the field isn't good enough. We need to be better as a team. So, you got to look at it from that way. Accept it, swallow your pride, and make adjustments. Good, say, hey, special teams has been killing us. I'm going to sit in special teams meetings this week to fix things and things like that. Offense, you need to be aggressive. And things like that. Maybe it's Allen telling them, earlier in the year, hey, we need to take care of the ball. Just do that. Trust our defense. Oh, it's not trustworthy just yet with these young defenders. Go be aggressive on offense. Go score points, because if you score points, you're probably going to win. You have to score points to win. And it's defense wins championships. Well, offense wins games. Go win some games on offense. Tell your quarterback to throw the ball deep, your guys open, and things like that. But other than that, it has been a fantastic college football season. We have a couple great races in the Big Ten in the East and the West. You have the college football playoff, a couple great games this weekend to watch with LSU, Alabama, Kentucky, Georgia, Michigan, Penn State. A lot of good games and some implications. So as much as IU football has been so crushing the last few weeks, college football as a whole has been awesome this year. And that's what I will be doing this weekend is catching up on those games, catching up on some other work and things like that. TJ, it's been a difficult show to go over and rip the Band-Aid off, but hopefully there'll be more positive things next week as we preview Maryland and things like that. So thanks for joining me on a kind of warm Monday evening here in Indianapolis.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's, you know, not the most pleasant of shows, but still fun to get together and commiserate over this. And, you know, as an IU football fan, we are certainly used to disappointment. So I keep telling myself someday this, you know, it'll all click. And maybe someday I'll be right about that.
Maybe. It's, you know, grass is always greener. But anyway, thanks for joining
maybe.
Us. Maybe. It could be great turf. Thanks for joining us. Come back to HoosierHuddle.com often as we take a look at IU's recruiting class this week, performances in the NFL, all that kind of stuff. What we're doing this weekend in terms of if you love college football, here's what you got to do. And follow us on Twitter at Hoosier_Huddle. We'll be back Monday to preview IU versus Maryland. No game time has been announced yet. That was one of those six-day flexes. It'll be announced Sunday, November 4th. I assume it's going to be a noon game, but they're waiting on the networks to figure that out. So thanks for joining us and sympathizing and just, you know, doing this Irish wake style. So enjoy the rest of your week, and we'll talk again on Monday.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables. Ooh, yum. And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed, leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
Yeah, I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Welcome to Fail Better, David Duchovny's new podcast with Lemonada Media. On Fail Better, David, who has experienced both low and high-profile failures throughout his life, explores the vast world of failure, how it holds us back, propels us forward, and ultimately shapes our lives. Each week, he'll chat with guests like Ben Stiller, Bette Midler, and more about how our perceived failures have actually been our biggest catalysts for growth, revelation, and even healing. Through these conversations, he hopes listeners can learn how to embrace the opportunity of failure and fail better together. Fail Better is out now wherever you get your podcasts.